as I think about this person who will be speaking this morning, Ann Claussen, she was one of my very first small group leaders for women's Bible study. And I was thinking about this early this morning. She was older at the time and so much wiser. But as I'm thinking about it and doing the math, you probably were in your late 30s. Yeah, right. But I've from the moment I've met Anne, I've so appreciated her humor, her love for God's word, her honesty, and the way in which she applies God's word to real life. And so actually, many years ago, I believe at a retreat, she gave her testimony. And just like those great books that we should go back to over and again throughout life, I'm so glad she's willing to share her testimony to us today, because I think there are a lot of us in this room that will resonate with the journey that she's been on and the hope that comes as you persevere. And so with that, I would love to introduce my friend Ann Claussen this morning.
Well, he is worthy, and it is well with my soul. I don't know if any of you were there at the College Church Women's Retreat in 1998 at the lovely Renaissance Hotel in downtown Chicago. Anyone? Yes. Okay, so the retreat was titled, as you may remember, Traveling Home, Women on the Way to the Heavenly City. I almost didn't make it to that retreat. As Friday morning, I found out that my husband was going out of town, and I would have to arrange last-minute childcare for my four children, then ages 7, 4, and 1. The dining room ceiling was leaking, and our old house closets the contents were all over the floor, and things were a little chaotic, to say the least. I wondered, was Satan trying to distract me and discourage me from attending the retreat, or did I need to stay home and deal with my life? Ordinarily, I would have thought it wisest to stay home, but I felt such a strong tugging to go on the retreat. I prayed, asking God for wisdom and direction. And our regular, Wheaton College babysitter was able to stay with the kids, which is precious Allison Bach. So, my husband would be returning home Saturday evening to relieve the sitter. And the bucket, Alice remembers, was nicely absorbing the dripping wet water from the ceiling and towels all over. The contents on the piles of clothes would certainly be waiting for me when I got home. I made the decision to go, desiring food for my soul and a break from my life. Unfortunately, I took a 3-year break from finding the source of that mysterious leak in the dining room, leading to an eventual collapse, an avalanche of water and plaster on my dining room table. But that's a whole nother story with the moral. Pay attention to unexplained water in the home. Oh, yes. God had so graciously drawn me to that retreat, providentially arranging roommates and other circumstances I won't take the time to detail to prepare me for the days that lie ahead. My heart was strengthened, and my desire for God's word and an eternal perspective grew throughout the weekend. Our speaker spoke of the life path we were on in our journey toward heaven. Laid out by God, the path was straight and narrow and well lit, illuminated by God through his word, his redemptive purposes prevailing, giving us hope and assurance of our destination. When I got home, I read and reread and meditated on the scriptures that were taught. I read from the book of Hebrews, "You need to persevere, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Let us unswervingly cling to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful." In chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The living, active word was faithfully at work in my heart during the week, and at the same time at work in the biblical confrontation that was taking place in my husband's life, culminating in the living room of our then pastor's home. I heard a confession from my husband, who was a church elder, Sunday school teacher, life group leader, soccer coach, and devoted father. This confession detailed a double life of serial patterns of betrayal that had gone on the entire length of our 15-year marriage. God had been graciously filling me up with his word as our straw house was blowing down. During this confession, I felt like I was in the corner of the room up near the ceiling looking down at my husband, my pastor, and my pastor's wife. I was in shock. After several hours of revelations and questions, our pastor asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I want to go home with my husband. And not a word passed between us on the way home. Because my husband had been drinking, he went into another room and went right to sleep. Numb, I lay fully clothed on my bed that was made with the lights on. My mind was flooded with horrible images, memories, and nearby pictures were now tainted with truth. And some things beginning to make a little sense. I felt like I had been kicked in the stomach and was unable to breathe. I thought I was going to throw up, and I wept. Here's the beauty. I read from Isaiah 43, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." From chapter 41, I read, "So do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I was, by God's grace, I made a list on notebook paper from the retreat. In one column, I wrote all the things I didn't know. Why me? Why my children? What would happen to us? How could I not have known? How come God knew and I didn't? Why didn't he intervene or let me know sooner? In another column, I listed all the things that I knew to be true about God. And that list was triple in length to the other one. I knew that God is good, that he is faithful. He is the giver of supernatural peace. He is my shield and protector. He is with me and would lead me, guide me, and direct my paths. He is sovereign. He reigns over the earth, and nothing that came to me hadn't passed through his hands first. I knew he was near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. He is a sure anchor for my soul. He is all-knowing, all-sufficient, and had given me everything I needed to live a life of godliness and contentment. I knew that God is loving and merciful, and I knew that I was a sinner and that I had fallen short of the glory of God and could not save myself. It was through Christ alone. My list went on. Amazingly, the Holy Spirit was faithful to bring scriptures that I had known for a long time into my mind. And I ended this list with a statement, "It is God's grace alone that enables me to turn to him now." The light stayed on all night, and I never went to sleep. Early in the morning, motivated by fear of my children seeing me in such a shattered state and concern that pain in my lower back was another bout of miserable kidney stones, I went to the ER and sat all afternoon in the crowded waiting room, sobbing. It quickly became apparent that my husband needed help dealing with the strongholds of addiction and anger in his life. He was helped by our pastor and others to leave the home and get help. We separated for 6 months. During this time, I begged God for wisdom and direction. I begged him to restore my husband and to restore our marriage. When my husband moved back in, I lived 2.5 of the most difficult months to date. A spirit of confusion reigned in my home. What was real? What was the truth? what was manipulation, deceit, blame, distortion. I wanted desperately to save my marriage. And for a period of time, I was unable to see the truth that God was revealing in his time. Psalm 33 says that God looks down on mankind and sees the heart of all. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. I was learning to live in the reality of my situation while maintaining hope. As it became overwhelmingly evident that my husband was not truly repentant and the deception continued, we were out of control and I was afraid. Labor Day weekend, with the help of a pastor and several members of our church, my husband left again for a second and final time. With lots of counsel, something I thought I would never in my life do, I filed for divorce in hopes that my actions would cause him to see how seriously I took these issues, that he would feel the consequences of all of this and truly repent and want to repair our marriage. The Lord in his kindness continued revealing deceit, confirming in many ways over a two-year period that this wasn't going to happen. A lifetime of knowing God, nurtured and taught by my loving parents, had laid a strong biblical foundation that supported me. I knew with my heart and mind that went deeper than my pain from Ephesians that having been predestined according to the purpose of God, he was working all things in conformity with the purpose of his will. Yet, I knew these truths about God, but my emotions raged. I tried in vain to prop myself up with righteous indignation and pride, crying out to the God I love, I've tried to serve you. I've tried to live my life under the authority of your word. I've shared my faith with other people. I mean, I was a self-righteous mess, basically. I've confessed my sin, and my biggest hang-up at the time was, God, why did you restore the marriage of so many people I knew in similar situations, but not my own? Like Job, I felt God had dealt me a cruel whip, and I said with him, though he slay me, I trust in him. I often prayed from Psalm 119, verse 20, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word, and he did, exceedingly and abundantly. Lamentations spoke the truth. Lamentations 3. He has broken my teeth with gravel. My splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I will remember my affliction and wandering, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, therefore I wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, the one who seeks him. And then continuing in chapter 3, verse 31, men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he shows compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord hadn't decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Lord Most High that both calamities and good things come? Yet you, O Lord, reign forever, and your throne endures from generation to generation. This is not the story of betrayal and the end of a marriage. It is way more importantly a story of God's sovereign redemptive purposes in my disappointment and suffering. Was I lost in chaos, or was the word of God true? The word that tells me that I am individually created, called, and deeply loved, purposely placed in this world, completely under the care of a good Father to glorify him. By God's grace, I came to the deep assurance that even though God knew and I didn't during those 15 years, he was undoubtedly in control, protecting me, protecting my children. He was at work protecting my soul, revealing himself to me in love. In God's sovereign care, I did not find out about his double life a day too soon or a day too late. I was a single mom to my four young children for 7 years. My greatest agony was watching the pain and loss that my children were suffering because they didn't deserve it. I would remind myself over and over again that this wouldn't have happened to my children if it hadn't passed through God's hand first, and he was ultimately going to use it for their good and his glory. God continued to give me peace and a love for his word and work out his purposes in our hearts. During those years, God was faithful in so many ways, giving me discernment and strength and providing wise counsel and support through my family and the body of Christ. He provided so much practical help through others, prayers, scripture, helping with my kids, and much more. My little girlfriends were of ultimate help too, with things like practical advice, like drink water, wear sunglasses, you better put on lipstick, and please don't wear that brown jumper again. So they were, they were a little army. So in January of 2001, I met my now husband on a blind date. We kept in touch through email for the next 6 months before we saw each other again. We began dating and moved slow with a lot of counsel. We married in 2005 and will celebrate our 20th anniversary this fall. A knight in shining armor did not solve all my problems, and one could argue created even more. Yeah, remarriage and blending a family is not easy and shouldn't be entered into without much prayer and counsel. God had been merciful as always, and ever present help in all of our circumstances. I am so thankful for my husband and the godly example he has been to me and my children. Together, between the two of us, we have 7 children, 1 son-in-law, 3 daughters-in-law, and 9.5 grandchildren. So 2 Corinthians 14:6 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes on what is seen and what is, because for what is seen is temporary, and but what is unseen is eternal. So by God's grace, my family and I are still on the path laid out before us, closer than ever to our eternal home. I'm that much older. Lots of wrinkles. I am filled with gratitude. I love my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, his people, more than I ever have, all because he first loved me. Sisters, God is faithful and true to every promise in his word. Praise him.